I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
New York's number one sports radio, 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
All right, welcome back. 647 on The Fan. We got about a half an hour to go. A shortened show tonight after a long one last night. Ed Coleman here in New York. Sweeney is out in San Diego with a mutual friend of ours sitting next to you, I think.
The former general manager of the Baltimore Orioles, former assistant general manager of the New York Mets, and now you see him on SNY, you hear him on Sirius XM. Jim Duquette is a busy man, but not too busy for us, Eddie. Jimmy, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you doing? Good to be with you. Eddie C., how's that up there in New York? You're missing some nice weather.
Yeah, actually, I know. It was actually 60.
It's a hotel lobby. Come on, let's be honest.
I was just outside to get some coffee, and it's 70 degrees.
Yeah.
70 degrees.
Anyway, we're not keeping track of that.
And now you're back inside, right?
Yes.
Mets news right away. Michael Wacha, $3 million with incentives that could bump it up to 10. He's had some injury issues in the past, obviously. What do you think?
Well, this all comes down to his health. I mean, you know, he got healthy towards the end of the year. I had Mike Schild on my show for Sirius every week, and we had a lot of conversation about him. They were hopeful that he could come back for them and contribute down the stretch. He really wasn't able to health-wise. And so that's the big factor. Like, I think for $3 million, there's not a lot of risk here,
sure.
You know, and, you know, depending on how many starts he gets, I mean, he got 24, I think, starts last year. If he is able to get through, and I don't think there's any arm injury here as of late. It was knee and oblique, I'm pretty sure. So I think from that standpoint, he had good stuff. You know, it's a fastball, you know, with good downward angle, a good changeup. His curveball was something that was hit or miss on occasion, but I think he had made some adjustments with that. So I like it. If you're looking at him as a back-end starter, which is what it sounds like they are, I think that's a good fit. I also think that, you know, in some point, who knows, if it doesn't work as a starter, you could flip him into the bullpen. You know, like Kevin Gausman for the Giants, I thought that was a possible fit for the Mets. It got to be really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different arm, obviously, with Gausman. But with Wacha, I like it. It's a value signing. Are you expecting him to replace Zach Wheeler? If you're a Mets fan, no. I would be disappointed if you throw that expectation on him. But he does have some potential upside if healthy.
You know, the plus to me, Duke, is and I think any fifth starter guy or type they were going to sign was going to be a bounce-back guy anyway, Porcello, Wacha, whoever. Mm-hmm. But you leave Lugo in the pen. I mean, I know Seth Lugo wants to start. Okay. I understand it. I get it. But I think they're better with him in the pen, so you leave him there. I think that is the plus out of the signing.
You know what? I agree with you. And you know, I know I talked to Brody Van Wagenen the other day about Lugo, and he's like, you know, I'm like, well, what makes you feel better about him as a starter, you know, let's say going forward than what we saw out of him in the past? Because the numbers aren't great as a starter, even though we know the stuff's there. And his response was interesting. He said, you know, he's a better pitcher, which we all can acknowledge. We saw that. And he knows how to set up hitters better and all that stuff. But there's still the workload issue that we have to be concerned about back in, you know, when he was in that starting rotation. And I always felt like if this guy was a middling or muddling starter and he all of a sudden came on the scene, has been a relief pitcher over the last couple of years, why would you take him out of that role? It's just not necessary to do so. I'm with you, and it's an area that they need, you know, a lot of help in. And as we've seen around the game, the bullpen still take on a huge impact and a huge role. So, you know, they might try to stretch him out in the spring like they're going to probably do with Gesellman, but I would be very surprised if he is anywhere other than the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Eddie and I have been talking about trying to fill out the bullpen arms, and, you know, two of the names we brought up yesterday a lot were Blake Treinen and Dellin Betances, guys who, you know, obviously can help and might offer some protection for Diaz if that goes south again. Well, Treinen came off the board just now, $10 million for 1 year. Jeff Passan from ESPN had that.
Right.
Doesn't seem to be a neighborhood the Mets would be willing to play in.
And he went to the Dodgers.
To
right?
the Dodgers, did I just say that?
Yeah.
And now I'm wondering if Dellin Betances is going to be playing in that same neighborhood.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, we've seen Betances, you know, when he's healthy, what he can be. And I think that's the area. I mean, you know, Trinan was healthy, but he was very inconsistent, you know. And when Dylan has been on the mound, he's been one of the dominant guys out there. So I do think that that's the mark that, he would stretch for. And, you know, having conversations with the agent, I know the Mets were rumored to be on Betances. It sounds like they've taken a little bit of a backseat in that area, and probably because of that, Sweeney, because, you know, the number for Trinan is up there, I think Betances starts to reach for that too, and that's a little bit more than what I think the Mets have. Mets have a finite amount of money, as we know, and they're trying to spread it around, and it's hard to spread it around when you're up against the luxury tax, and, you know, unless you're able to move a guy like Jed Lowrie, who we've heard, you know, at least some rumblings of since we've been here.
I think the frustrating thing for Met fans right now, Duke, too, is, you know, with Cole signing with the Yankees and Steve Cohen on the horizon, but he's not here yet. And I think people know what may be coming or what will likely be coming, yet they're playing in this ballpark as opposed to the other ballpark because they're boxed in right now, you know, monetarily. Right. They just are, you know.
Yeah, they are. You know, and that's a difficult spot. You know, whenever you hear general managers say, "Well, we're trying to be creative with the roster," that usually means there's not a lot of payroll flexibility.
We're looking for depth.
You know, and so we're trying to get the depth move. We're looking for upside. All of those things that we try to use our code words for that. So, you know, I mentioned Jed Lowrie. You know, I mean, interestingly, we saw a similar move. Yesterday with Zach Kozar going from the Angels to the Giants, right? That was $13 million off the books that the Angels cleared. But with that, they had to take their mid-first-round pick from last year and move him in that deal. And, you know, are the Mets really willing to take, you know, as a similar type of deal, or maybe it's a, you know, a guy that they drafted in the second round, or Matt Allen, or somebody they gave a lot of money to? Do they want to, you know, package him and move him with Jed Lowrie somewhere else? That doesn't seem like it would be the right. Well, I do not think it would be the right move for the Mets. But
I agree.
You know, to free up that pressure, sometimes to free up the salary, you know, is enticing because you see what you can do now with that, which is to try to improve your club this year.
As you look at some of the things that have been happening around the league, you know, the pitching moved quickly this year. We weren't sitting around in our hands waiting for deals to happen.
Thankfully.
And I mean, listen, I know you had certain expectations when the week started as to where the numbers were going to go. But, I mean, blew us all away, right? Strasburg and Cole both.
I don't think anybody would have expected that. You know, Strasburg is one that is smartly the Boris Corporation got him signed first. I didn't think anyone, you know, felt like he was going to go outside of Washington. He made it sound like possibly he could. But once you get settle him in and you set the record for him, you know everyone has Cole ranked above him. So that was completely by design. And I also felt this, that, you know, when you look at the Yankees, of course, they paid a lot of money. I happen to be, you know, in a restaurant next door when it gets announced, and here comes Booney and Cashman in there, and everyone's congratulating him. And, you know, you sit there, and he, you know, Cash, like, hey, there's no bargain there, right? I mean, 2-4, there's no bargain. It's not a Black Friday deal. So, you know, it's one of those things. So I think that, you know, the price tag continues to go up on those guys. And I thought, once the Yankees were involved, I knew they would not be denied. I really didn't. And I know the Dodgers felt that way. There's no way that Andrew Friedman was going to go to that number. And I think that they're going to end up with Rendon at the end of the day anyway. So, anyway, price tag, no way did anyone think it was going over 300.
Interesting. Duke, we're up against the clock, unfortunately. I just wanted to ask you quick. You mentioned Rendon. That was one guy. Rendon, Donaldson, the third baseman, may go next. Just where you think. Rendon, you think Dodgers, and maybe Donaldson, where you think he goes.
I mean, I think Donaldson, Washington or Atlanta, I hear that the most. You know, those are the two spots. And Rendon, just because I talked to Dave Roberts yesterday, and, you know, they're hopeful. You know, when you hear a big market club being hopeful and they have a lot of payroll flexibility, they have a lot of money to spend, I would be surprised if he's anywhere outside of maybe Texas, but I think the Dodgers. Yeah.
They're not talking about being creative.
We're not hearing those words. No, we're not hearing that with the Dodgers.
Jimmy,
I know you're busy with all kinds of stuff. You got TV, you got radio on SiriusXM. Thanks for giving us
all
a couple
guys,
minutes.
You got it. Good to catch up.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jimmy. Jim Duquette joining us here. We've got about 5 minutes to go before 7 o'clock, but we're up against it here. Boog Shambi going to join us on the other side. We only go to 7:15 tonight, but we'll come back, talk about some other issues. Sweeney in San Diego, Ed Coleman here in New York on The Fan.